We got a whole serial killer this week. Allegedly. This episode is a whodunit, semi-thriller, suspenseful, everything. So I'm just going to get right into it because there's no point of me stalling or giving you some juice. That I don't want to say, okay, yeah, this is my favorite one of this season, because you do that with every episode and then next week brings you something that you weren't even expecting. But more on that later. The show opens up at Paperboy's new house. And I will say, it's a nice crib. Very modest. I mean, you know, Paperboy has money now, but he's also not doing too much. If you can reference back to season one, his apartment, it's not doing too much as far as like the appliances you see around, the furnishings and artwork and stuff. It seems modern, nice place, obviously, but you know what? Let me hold off because I don't know how it's going to look. He's still in the process of moving in, so we're going to put a pin in that. As per usual, he's struggling with technology. Darius is still on his pseudo off-the-grid, but not off-the-grid style, telling him he does not need any of that nonsense as far as being connected. So we're with the crew, Earn, Darius, and Al. The crew talks about the social media of it all because Al challenges them on news not being streamable, and it's the reason he still has cable. He has not cut the cord yet. Earn shouts out TMZ, Shade Room, and LSA, the pinnacle of sources today, and he is not wrong. Well, maybe for some of you who essentially live on Instagram for your delayed news these days. So yeah, there's that shade. Earn and Darius bring up the Crank That Killer, who, as the name denotes, is going around killing people who made a Crank That video back in the day. Now, I always feel unqualified saying back in the day, as it was 2007. Wow, that is a long time ago. Not really, but I don't know. Time is, I swear, after high school, time is just gone. But that song was huge, obviously. You really can't take away Soulja Boy's accolades with that one, as he invented YouTube. He didn't invent it, but he's credited with making it a success because that video's views are still ridiculous to this day. Al pulls up a Crank That video of his own featuring a friend, Jay Berg, and himself. The video was on his YouTube page, so I'm not sure why he would need to call his boy to take it down. But then I remembered Al is bad with technology and probably forgot his password again. More on that later. In the thumbnails of the YouTube page he was on, we get a couple Easter eggs with the Call Ahmad White video. And you remember him from season one, episode one, literally the pilot, on the bus with Earn and the Nutella sandwich. He really, really works. There was also a Montague thumbnail too. Imagine if this happened now with all the TikTok dances that were stolen. Oh, my bad. I mean, that were remixed. Let me just, you know what? Let me stop, because that could be a potential plot for a Buku short story while I'm out here playing. We enter the studio where Al lays down a track in 15 minutes. Now, that can mean a lot of different things. He could have provided some mediocre bars, or he is actually mastering his craft and feeling good about it. Al is also avoiding some guy named Doug, the rapper, at all costs. Even to the point of pouring Henny on the boards. At this point, of course, is he really that bad? Ain't no way. I know we rich, but that stung a little bit. Al checks his phone again, and this time, Crank That Jimmy Neutron video is on his boy's page, Jay Berg. And now he notices there's a very, very recent comment left with a skull and crossbones emoji. This makes Al more nervous, of course, as he thought, there's no way nobody would find the video. But they're on to him. And the fact that it's on two different YouTube pages, but you know what? Details, people, details. We're introduced to a subplot with aspiring rapper Roberto, who to me represented a SoundCloud rapper. That's the vibe I got. He works at the mall, and his goal was to, you know, make it big, I guess. It wouldn't be complete, of course, with some direct product placement of the Skullcandy headphones. As the mother of his child drops him off for work at the mall, I'm not going to say baby moms because ew. But yeah, Darius and Earn visit the shoe man van to cop some sneakers. They're on a mission to secure the Nike miracles. Now, all's well and good. It's shady at first. They're like, okay, whatever. But of course, the shoe man provides the shoes that they wanted. Only for them to have to kiss to get the pairs of shoes. No money down. Oh, excuse me, just French yourselves, apparently. The absurdity of the shoe game and the lengths people will go for a pair of non-exclusive shoes. Hell, even for exclusive ones, it's not worth it. An 8-minute kiss at that, like, what part of the game is this? And in real time, Nike's cracking down on sneaker bots that ruined and continue to ruin the market for resellers. About time, but where have you been? Anyway, my bad. Back to the episode because shoes. I love shoes. So Darius is down to kiss and doesn't see that's a big deal. Earn is not with it at all and would rather pay. Not that there's anything wrong with that. So not in that way. But Earn's thing is he doesn't want to kiss anybody. He doesn't want to materialize his morals when it comes down to it. And Darius's argument is more so centered around their resale value and the true manufacturer's sale price versus kissing and essentially getting them at the expense of their lips. Yes, they are above this, but ultimately end up kissing. More on that later. Paperboy is at home, still as paranoid as ever. He's constantly checking his phone, of course, to stay updated. We get another Easter egg here with the Black Justin Bieber. As one of 9 celebrities you didn't know were bisexual. That was season 1, episode 5, Nobody Beats the Biebs. And in this case, Biebs, I guess, wouldn't count as a YWA, a young white Aptar callback. Hashtag Mermaids Are White also made an appearance. Big shout out, see you May 26, 2023 for The Little Mermaid. You know I'm not a fan of remakes and requels and or live action, but gotta support Halle Bailey. Also trending is Crank That Killer Strikes Again, so he calls Soldier Man, aka Soldier Boy, Mr. Crank That himself. He's skipping town and advises Al to do the same because of his video. Like a good neighbor, Safe Farm is there. Hopefully Al is able to secure a Safe Farm after procuring his first crib. We never get an answer as to who was in the house of Al, but all them noises from the 3rd floor, yeah. That's when he decides to get up and go to Greenbrier Mall. Al is dressed as unincognito as possible with an unmarked dad hat and shades on. He tried, but way too hard for that pretzel when it comes down to it. Of course, like a teenager, the pretzel girl lets others know that Paperboy is in the mall. Who is she telling? Roberto. Word spreads quickly, and he decides this is his chance to rap for Paperboy. Clearly not the best scenario, especially when Al is trying to blend in and not be found in this situation. But then again, who told you to take yourself to the mall? Al. All right. Okay. I know we all have to come together, obviously, because the crew tends to come together at the end of the episode sometimes. So yeah. A dude pulls up in a car, gets out, and yells Paperboy. Of course, Paperboy being immensely afraid at this point, he starts booking it back into the mall. Turns out he had beef with him in high school. The chase is now on. At first, I'm like, running back into the mall wasn't the best choice. Then dude starts shooting. Yeah. Life is like a movie, Uzi Jacuzzi. See, it's a rap when I say it, but it was whack when he did it. Roberto, he deserved to get knocked over and pushed into that glass. I'm sorry. How are you soliciting bars in the middle of a shootout? Like, huh? Meanwhile, Paperboy is gone. He's big shook. I can't even blame him, especially when it evolved into a full-on shootout. Reminding those of you who may have forgotten, we are in Georgia. Everybody's strapped. Also, the shooter wasn't reloading, which was wild to me, but that's me being extra. Obviously, they're not going to stop the freaking show and be like, click, click, magazine. Okay, yeah. Anyway, cut back to Ern and Darius agreeing and kissing for the Nike Miracles, while Casey and JoJo, All My Life, plays in the background, only for Shoe Man to get popped. They rightfully take the shoes with them because they earned it and they completed their assignment. Al is saved by some guy named Doug in his trash production in a Subaru. I take back what I said earlier, but you kind of do owe him some low-level bars for saving your life, at least. I mean, one has to wonder if Doug set that up. It was pretty convenient being in the right place at the right time. But then again, it's not like he was circling the mall waiting for Paperboy to appear. It definitely speaks to the desensitization of today when it comes to tragic news. On to the next, almost immediately. Or even in general, just reactions in not your everyday situations. I know it's a mall, but there's no way, one, Roberto didn't see people running and shooting, or two, see it trending on social media. So Paperboy and some guy named Doug are well on their way to the studio. We are back at Paperboy's house. And on TMZ, they're notified that the Crank That Killer was found. Al notices their shoes, gives them props, but they keep the cost to themselves, and Darius lets him know that he had to do a little something for them. We unfortunately end the episode listening to his collaboration with some guy named Doug. If this is not the worst song I've ever heard, usually the end scene is like when you vibe out because the placement of the selection is just spot on. I mean, it fit obviously because of the episode, but bruh, that song was bad. And I'm sitting there waiting for the drop like, yeah, it's gonna get better. It didn't. It really didn't. And luckily we were blessed with Darius dancing again, or trying to dance to the beat, and he couldn't. It was impossible, but it's okay. I feel like this episode, I don't want to say it's made for me. I almost sound corny, but silly with elements of realistic violence, thriller, and suspense, of course. Even if it wasn't their Halloween episode, it is very timely because it felt seasonal. And it's October, so perfect. We didn't get a portal this episode. Wow. I mean, I don't want to be corny again and count some guy named Doug's getaway car as the escape. But I'm going to do it anyway for the sake of continuity, of course, and nobody's going to stop me. I'm still going to keep referencing the album because the internet, because it fits. I don't care if Donald himself says it has nothing to do with anything. It does to me. Definitely interested to hear your thoughts. Engage with us. Tap into the Spotify app and check out the poll and Q&A sections. You can also leave your thoughts via Instagram, Twitter, YouTube, or verbalvibemode.com. Feel free to leave a voicemail using Anchor if you prefer. All important links are in the description box. See you next week.